I'm Paul Thorpe.
I'm Charlie Keegan.
I'm Barry Worthington, and this is the Progress with Unity podcast. Everybody okay?
All good.
Yeah,
that's good. No games to review. No excitement on a Tuesday, just following the results of the other games. But we have had an under-21s game away at Coventry.
Yeah, first time we've played Coventry for the under-21s this season. We do actually play them again next week. I think we play them at Christopher Park, so it's a bit of a back-to-back. But yeah, we lost 1-0 in that. There was three trialists in the team, and we're without a lot of the key players, because if you remember, Josh Jones is injured. I think Chrissy is injured because he dropped out after the win against Hull last time. But you've got McHugh's out on loan, Mitchell's on loan, Carragher's on loan. Kai Payne, I don't know where he is, or Jack Riley. I'm not seeing them two, or Harrison Rimmer. We're missing a few of the players, but apparently it was wet and windy condition. Luke Brennan hit the bar, just couldn't get it in. But we're seventh with 18 points now after 16 games, and Coventry are 10th. It's a bit of a dead rubber season. We're not fighting for anything. And it's a lot of our players, it's more of a development season, getting out on loan. So it's not the most exciting one to follow. But under 18s, they do actually play Coventry as well on Saturday. They played them in November and won 3-0. So hopefully we can do a double on them. We're a club that likes doing doubles right now. We'll try and do another one.
Tuesday night's results. We've got Exeter on Saturday, and they had a good result on Tuesday. They beat Peterborough 2-1. Bristol Rovers 0, Fleetwood 2. Now, that's a bit of a surprise result there. And Port Vale on free fall at the moment, lost 1-0 to Orient. And Reading got a fabulous away win at Stevenage, 1-0. Teams are at the bottom doing a bit of fighting, apart from Port Vale.
Yes, our run's been so good, but then the teams below us have also been picking up points, so we've not got much to show for it, other than we're a little higher in the table than the rest of them. But I think Reading are doing such a good job at trying to stay safe, and I do think they will be safe in the end. But like you say, Port Vale are a little bit of free fall. I think they might be all right by the end of the season, but Charlton as well have just got Nathan Jones as a manager, so I imagine they'll take off, and it makes Port Vale's job a lot harder.
I think you look at it and you say they're doing a good job of keeping us under pressure. We're 7 points ahead plus the eight, so that's 15 points. That's 5 wins better than the Port Vale in 21st. So don't panic, don't worry, we're going to be all right.
Oh, no worries at all, Paul. I'm sure we're going to finish the season up in mid-table. I just think it's good to watch for a change, without either sweating about relegation or getting all fluttery about promotion. And it's just good to watch it unfold without a care in the world. It's the season we've all asked for.
Well, there's people with driving licences, isn't there, that weren't born last time Latics had a mid-table finish.
Going for our second double in 4 days. And then if we look ahead, we've got Oxford next Tuesday, who we beat at the DW Stadium. And we follow that up with Shrewsbury away, who we beat at the DW Stadium. So we've got the opportunity here to rake up a few doubles. And then on the horizon, we've got Bolton Wanderers, who we also beat earlier in the season. So 4 or 5 games here coming up that we can see us getting a few doubles.
It's the only one that counts.
He's loving this, isn't he? If we can beat Bolton again. Meet them in the playoffs, as you keep saying, or knock them out of the playoffs.
I mean, we'd have to be on a hell of a run to make that happen now. But if we do get there on a hell of a run, you turn them over, wouldn't you?
Fixture congestion as well. Because obviously their game against, is it Cambridge, didn't go ahead. I think it got rained off last night. So their fixture congestion, I think they're Tuesday, Saturday for the foreseeable for now. And they've got a bit of squad depth. Whether they can keep a good run going, I don't know. But it's the kind of run that, if you do start to slip up, it can get away from you very easily, especially when you're trying to chase those top two spots. So who knows what will happen with them, but I am confident actually going into that one. I think we could do them again.
You talk about there's only one game important, and for me, it's always the next game. The next game's the important one, and we've got that on Saturday. And I managed to speak with Tom Pillico from the Park Life podcast, which is the official Exeter City podcast. I spoke to him earlier in the season as well, before we played him in the Cup. I had a good chat with Tom, and let's have a listen how that went. Looking forward to Saturday. We've got Exeter City in town. Gary Caldwell, David Perkins coming back to the club. And I'm very pleased to say I've got Tom with me. Tom was on earlier in the season before our FA Cup tie. How are you doing, Tom?
Very well, Barry. You know, yesterday's result was absolutely fantastic, wasn't it? A win against promotion challengers, Peterborough. What more can you want? a complete upturn in form. And I suppose we're looking up the table now, and we're kind of in a similar place now, Exeter and Wigan. And obviously, we know that you had your points deduction, but kind of sat in a similar place. So Saturday's game should be quite exciting.
One place between us and one point between us. And we both beat Peterborough in the last 7 days. A lot of similarities going on there.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, that's credit to both Exeter and Wigan. Peterborough are a side that, when you look at the players that they've got, the talent that's in those ranks, you know, they took Archie Collins from us at the end of last season, and he's been one of their standout players. You've got some excellent players in that side. You know, Ricky J. Jones, Johnson Clark Harris, so many others. Joel Randall, who has been fantastic for them this year, and you know, I could keep going because they've got one of the best squads in League One. But you know, little old Exeter and Wigan to beat Posh is maybe a little bit worrying for them, but you know, I think that we'll both take it. It seems like a bit of a, you know, not a giant killing, because I'm not sure if you'd call them a giant of the league. Certainly a big team. They're a side that are trying to compete at a much higher level than us. And we've managed to get, you know, 6 points off them between us, which I think is a decent little job.
We've got nine. We've got six ourselves, so we've got nine between us. You're coming up to us now. We got our first double last Saturday, and obviously we beat you in the league and the cup at your place. It's not often you beat a team three times in a season, is it? So we can get our second double of the season on Saturday. Coming to a little bit of a good vein of form, lost to Reading on New Year's Day, and since then you've gone 7 games and you've picked up 4 wins in that.
Absolutely fantastic, isn't it? I mean, what a turnaround from 13 games without a win to, 4 wins in 5, is it now? Or something like that, 4 wins in 6, I can't remember exactly. But wow, I mean, what a turnaround. We've been fantastic since... Well, I mean, I spoke to Cech Diabate, our centre-back, last week, and asked him what the turning point was. He kind of suggested 2 different dates. One was the turnaround at Stevenage when we went 1-0 down in the first half, had a player sent off, and then, and this was away at the Lamex. Stevenage were flying high at this point. I think they were third in League One. We went there with very little expectation, if we're totally honest. And once we'd gone a man down and conceded, we thought, all right, you know, might as well leave at this point, because there's no way we're coming back. I mean, I'm an optimistic fan, but you know, down to 10 men, 1 goal down against a team that good, it's very difficult to come back. Anyway, we did come back. We scored a goal through Yannick Vilshut, who you know well, of course, at Wigan. And a dogged defensive display earned us a point that game. And I think that that really turned the mentality around. The players really thought that they could compete against the teams at the top of the league. And then that was followed up by a huge win against Wickham, and then a 0-0 draw against league leaders Portsmouth. And I think that those games in particular really sort of rallied the troops, I guess, brought a little bit of belief into the squad that was down on confidence. And since then, it's been fantastic, you know, wins against Carlisle, Bristol Rovers, Barnsley. I'm trying to think now because, you know, we're almost spoiled with the amount of wins we're getting recently. But what a turnaround. Credit to Gary Caldwell, who the board have had the bottle to stick by. To be honest, at times, I'm not sure how they managed to do it, because, you know, there were a lot of fans who were sort of piling on Gary. It was definitely a majority who wanted him gone, but the board have somehow managed to pluck up the confidence to stick by him. And what a decision it is. I mean, you know, the fans own the football club, and some fans weren't particularly happy with Gary at the time, but you've got to give him credit because he's been fantastic.
I mean, we know Gary. I don't need to talk about his style of football because we know exactly what he plays. And it's very similar to ours under Sean Maloney. They're both disciples of Roberto Martinez. Do you think David Perkins has had any influence as well on the way you're playing?
I think Perks is great. I think Perks is a real character. He was even named on the bench for us. I'm not sure if you saw, against Reading on New Year's Day, which got a few fans talking because, you know, he was a good player in his day, but it's been a little while since he was retired. So he signed on as a player and didn't manage to come off the bench, but he did make the bench. He's been great. You know, it's clear that he's got a good rapport with the players. And, you know, some people call him sort of, you know, a little Gary Caldwell. He's Gary's mate, I guess. And he's come into the club and brought a bit of fun. And, you know, he's a good character and a great coach as well. But Gary, I suppose, in himself, has kind of kept the the team playing a similar way? Obviously, he's brought in a few new personnel, I guess, to strengthen the squad. Luke Harris has been fantastic. Alonie from Fulham, I believe that Chelsea rejected like a £20 million bid for him a couple of summers ago, and he's been great for us on loan, so that's been great. We've also strengthened up top, finally got a striker, Moisa. All of this comes together to fit into this Gary Caldwell or Roberto Martinez system, as you call it, the sort of 3-4-1-2, and that top of the triangle, I guess, can change a little bit. Sometimes it's two up top, sometimes it's one with two supporting attacking midfielders. We've always got these wing backs and the three centre backs. We've experimented with four at the back a little bit, but I think broadly we're quite keen to stick with the three at the back, because the three defenders that we've got in the team at the moment, Zach Jules, Cech Diabate and Pierce Sweeney, look unstoppable. I think it's 10 clean sheets this season so far, and that is credit to those boys, because they've been superb. In my opinion, one of the best goalkeepers in the league, Wilson Asalo, has been keeping them out of the net as well. So that's the sort of system, I guess. Two dynamic wing backs, three centre backs, and that top of the triangle can change a little bit. But it's a good style of football, and we certainly enjoy watching it.
When we spoke back in October, you said defensively you thought you was all right, which is bearing fruit now with your number of clean sheets. It was just up top, and we witnessed this with chances you created against us and didn't take the chances. Have you put that to bed, or are you still struggling to score goals?
We have put that to bed slightly. I think that there's always a degree of clinicality that we can improve on, I guess. It's tricky because we started the season by selling Sam Nombe to Rotherham, which was good business for the club at the time. But actually, you know, he was so good last season. I think it was 15 goals that he scored. But we didn't replace him, and I think the club will certainly admit that. We ended up with James Scott up top, who didn't really hit the heights. He's gone out on loan to St Mirren. Shame that that didn't really work out. I think the last time we played you, we played Admiral Musque up top, and he hasn't played for the club for a very long time. I think he's been injured. He's been sent back to Luton. Will we see him again this season? Not too sure. He didn't score for us. I'm not, you know, I'm certainly not going to slag off any of our players, but I think that he probably didn't have the start that he wanted to his life at Exeter City. But we have managed to find goals now, and those goals have mainly come through a striker that we recalled from a loan spell at Yeovil, Sonny Cox, who is fantastic. Just, I think, 19 years old, a fantastic talent. And one of the best that I've seen in recent years at the park. He scored, I think, three goals since coming back, and it has looked really exciting. So him and Moisa, who we've brought in, who I've mentioned before, they're sort of providing the goal threat. And then Rhys Cole will chip in with a stunner every now and again. We've managed to find goals, and we've kept that defensive resilience, which is really good.
That's your building blocks, isn't it? You know, yeah. Good in both boxes. And you used a word there that I absolutely love, and I'm nicking it off you, Tom. Clinicality. I think every team needs a little bit of clinicality about them, don't they?
Indeed they do, yes.
Yeah. We're moving into the business end of the season now. Spring's coming up. I mean, we chatted earlier on about, I personally don't think either of us are going down. What's your feelings on it? Do you feel secure that you'll be in League One next season, or are you still looking over your shoulder?
I spoke to, like I mentioned that Czech interview already, but he told me that the players do have to avoid being complacent. When you go through a good little run, you can sort of get caught up in that a little bit, and you forget, which I suppose can be a good thing. You can forget about the 13 game winless run that we went through. If we go through that again this season, then I think it'll be tricky for us to stay up. But I don't think that will happen, because the confidence has gone through the roof, really. The players are sort of over the moon with what has happened over the past few weeks. And as long as we keep this up, then I think that we'll be looking in front of us, I guess, rather than behind. And that would be an incredibly successful season. I think that at the start of the season, Some people tipped us for relegation. Some people tipped us to just about survive. So if we better that, then I think that that would be a really good result for us. At the moment, if I'm totally honest, I think a lot of fans would just take survival. That's what we needed this season. People talk about second season syndrome. You know, we were always going to maybe struggle a little bit after losing so many of our key players who won us promotion last season, and then a couple that we brought in as well, you know, Jay Stansfield. How on earth do you go about replacing him? Sam Nombe, you can't. Archie Collins, Josh Key, these are players who are playing at a really good level now, and we're realistically never going to stay with us. We had to replace those as best we possibly could. That was always going to be tricky, and we've done it quite well. As long as we do it to the best that we possibly can, then I think that survival is key, obviously, but not a given. I think that that is still the message. We've got to keep working. There's, what, 15 games of the season remaining, and I'd say that we need about 15 points-ish. So a point a game, and we're good. So hopefully that will happen. But, you know, yeah, if you look at yesterday, there are teams that are down there who are picking up results, and we've got to stay consistent.
I mean, you said before you felt there were four teams worse than Exeter in this division, and I totally agree, though. I think you'll be safe.
I hope so. I hope yeah. so.
Regardless of what happens on Saturday, because we want another double. So looking ahead to Saturday, Tom, how do you see the game going?
I think it'll be, I mean, naturally, it will be a tricky one. Heading up to the DW Stadium, I believe it's, Gary said that a couple of weeks ago, he's never returned to a club that he has managed before. He did it as a player, but has never done it as a manager. And of course, we had that with Matt Taylor last week. Obviously now at Bristol Rovers, he came to us and, you know, he managed to take all 3 points from us. So hopefully Gary can do that when he goes up to Wigan. Look, I think naturally it will be a very tricky game. Wigan have got great players. I watched your FA Cup game a couple of weeks ago, and to be honest, you started really well. And I thought, wow, you know, you can be a decent side at this level. And without that points deduction, you know, goodness knows where you'd be. Our away form is quite good recently. You know, a win against Barnsley was huge. Victory over Bristol Rovers as well. So we're picking up points on the road. Can we do it against Wigan? I hope so. Wigan have obviously got a good squad, a very good manager in Sean Maloney, and great backing at the DW. So we'll see. We'll see. I think that we can get a point. I really do. Can we nick all three, perhaps? The confidence amongst the squad is really high at the moment. And hopefully we can do it. But honestly, it's very difficult to make a prediction because we're two sides that are, you know, pretty neck and neck in the table. It's always going to be tricky to predict.
Well, I push every week for a score prediction. I'll just give you a little bit of insider information. Two of our better players are missing on Saturday, both suspended. Matt Smith, okay, who missed the games down with you, I don't think he played against Exeter. He was injured then. He's just come back from injury, and he's found himself getting sent off at
Lovely stuff.
Peterborough. And Sean Clough, who's Mr. Reliable, Mr. Consistent, he had a good game down at your place. He's picked up his 10th booking of the season on Saturday, so he's going to be missing for a couple of games. So then two players are out. So with that in mind, give us a score then, Tom. Come on.
Well, Barry, in that case, we're going to win it, aren't we? We're going to win it. No, I don't know. We've been quite defensively resilient, and we've been able to nick a goal recently. So I'm going to go relatively conservative and go 1-1. I don't think that's outrageous. I think we can do something at your place, and hopefully it'll be a happy return for Gary Caldwell. I do hope, by the way, that you give him a good reception, because he's a bit of a legend around your part. So, you know, maybe forget those comments that he made earlier in the year and give him a nice little clap when he comes out onto the pitch at the DW.
Well, he's a former player, captain, player of the season and manager.
FA Cup winner.
FA Cup winner, even though we didn't get on the pitch. And Yannick as well. Will Yannick be playing?
He should be, or at least he'll be on the bench, I think. He's a great character, isn't he, Yannick? Yeah, I love him. And I had a great interview with him a few weeks back where we spoke about him signing for the club and being a free agent after being released or mutually terminating his contract at Oxford. It's a great story. So please do go back and listen to that if you fancy hearing a little bit about Yannick. I know he has a lot of love for Wigan still, and even though we'll be playing in red and white on Saturday, I hope he gets a good reception from the fans.
I'm sure he will. Where can the listeners grab all of that then?
You're probably best off looking on the Park Life Podcast Spotify or Apple Podcasts page. That's where you can find it. And if I remember rightly, it's the Christmas episode. You don't have to go too far back to find it. Give that one a listen, because Yannick, great man, a great character, and had plenty to say, and an absolute credit to the club.
Tom, it's been a pleasure as always, and no doubt we'll be speaking again next season. So thank you very much for joining us, and all
no worries at all. Thank you very much, Barry. Cheers.
And I think my biggest surprise with facing Exeter this time is that they're still managed by Gary Cordwell. I really thought that he was going to be leaving, but I remember Exeter's sort of statement that they put out a while ago, and they were saying that they are going to back in. And I don't think you really see that much this season, because we've seen it so many times, and managers go on a bit of a poor run and then they get sacked, and sometimes a team can fly back up the table or they struggle, but they've really stuck with Gary Cordwell. And I think that I respect that decision. He's obviously won League One before. He knows how to manage a club. He just needed more time. And Exeter, there are a few seasons behind, I think, where we sort of are, where we've got a bit of squad depth. We've got players who can really fill in, but Exeter don't really have that at the moment. Like it was saying before in the preview, they've lost a few players and haven't really replaced them. But since we last played them, we've both played 18 games. Exeter have picked up 20 out of the 54 points, and we've picked up 29. So we're doing a lot better, but it's not a million miles off. And I'm impressed with how they've been doing over the whole season. They've won 10, drawn 6, and lost 15. They've scored 23, which is just really low. I think last season they scored something like over 40 goals. So the way down where they should be, and they've conceded 42, but 10 clean sheets, they got 12 last season. They're still doing okay-ish defensively when they need to. And away from home, 1-5, drawn 1 and lost 9, scored 13, conceded 29, which is far too much away from home, really. But they have won the last two away from home. They beat Barnsley 2-1 and they beat Bristol Rovers 1-0. I think ones to watch, Rhys Cole has got to be up there. Centre midfielder, 3 goals, 1 assist. As he was just saying, he can pop up and score a worldie every now and then. And then Sonny Cox, a forward, 3 goals, 1 assist. And Jack Aitchison, a forward, 2 goals and 1 assist. But they're missing Dimitri Mitchell, who I thought was one of the better players when we played them last time. I think he's out for the season with an ACL. I'm pretty sure his contract's up as well, so he's not going to be around next season, most likely. And then Ryan Trevitt as well. I thought he was brilliant in the midfield, but he's been recalled, I'm sure it was by Brentford, and I don't actually know where he is now. And I think most of all, they're just missing a proper striker. And I said that last time we played them, they were just missing somebody to put the ball in the back of the net. And they didn't add to that really in January, I don't think. Maybe next season they'll get somebody, but it's just a work in progress team, I would put them down as.
Well, they brought Morway Iserman, aren't they? On loan from NK Dons. And Tom spoke about him, because I questioned him about the lack of goals, and he said he felt he was the answer to it. He's always struck me as a good player, that, you know, when we've come across him, he's direct, he's fast, he can score a goal or two. The problem with Exeter is that they're a fan-owned club. They have to bring players on, sell them on, start again. Bring players on, sell them on, and start again. So they're in that loop. And like last summer, they sold 3 or 4, plus they lost Jay Stansfield, went back to Fulham, who then loaned him out to Birmingham, and they've had to start again. It's difficult for clubs in that position. And it's something, when you look at the model that we're adopting now, are we going to be a similar type of club where bring them through, sell them on, bring them through, sell them on? Patience is the key.
That's the model, but people get a little bit carried away. I think the interesting thing, Charlie's talking about that run, they went through 1 point in 9 games at one stage, and at the end of that 9 games, they took an absolute tonking up the road in Norwich. Some going by the board, to stick by the management and stick by Gary Caldwell. And then you look at the last games, they won 3 and 4, same as we have.
I was looking when we signed Charlie Kelman, and I was looking at QPR as well, because they were managed by Gareth Ainsworth before he got sacked and replaced by Marty Cifuentes. And I think Ainsworth picked up maybe 2-3 points in a 10-game run, and he was sacked. And when you see Gary Caldwell going on that run, I thought, okay, well, the natural progression is he's going to get sacked and replaced by somebody. But I do really like when they've stuck by him. And I don't think Exeter are in any risk of relegation, really. early this season, just like I don't think we are. I think we're both kind of on the other side of that now and trying to get those mid-table finishes. So I like that the model Exeter are doing. Unfortunately, the bring in, develop and sell mentality is just what it is in League One and League Two, really. In Championship, you can probably hold on to these players because it's the dream of going up, or some players like playing in the Championship for more than one season. But yeah, in League One and League Two, if you've got standout players, naturally they're going to be moving on. So their model's very similar to ours.
So ref what? Given up on these useless referees in the EFL, and we've gone to import one from America. That referee is 36-year-old former MSL official Alex Chilovitz, who relocated to the UK recently and became a national list referee in December of 2023. During a 6-year period, he's officiated 237 games in America's top flight league. Chilovitz has packed the games in since taking charge of his first EFL match at League Two Sutton on the 23rd of December. That game ended in a 2-0 away win for Mansfield, with just 2 yellow cards being issued. Card watch, Alex Chilovitz has taken charge of 8 games so far this season, in which he's issued 30 yellow cards, no red cards, and he's awarded no penalty kicks. So we could break records there. And that's Alex Chilovitz, who will referee the visit of Exeter and the return of Gary Caldwell to the DW Stadium on Saturday.
Because you know the rules, it's yellow cards, red cards, not 5-yard penalties, not first downs, nothing like that. It's Super Bowl weekend, so he's American and probably going to be watching that. So as long as he doesn't get confused.
We've played Exeter City 18 times down the years. We've won 12 of those, lost 3 and drawn 3. We've only lost on one occasion at home, and that came in January 1993. The Grecians beaten us 1-0. And the manager was none other than World Cup winner Alan Ball. That 1-0 win back in 93 was the last time we've lost a game against Exeter. In fact, in the 8 games that followed against the Grecians, we've won the lot, including 2 this season. League One victory at St James's Park, and of course the FA Cup victory in the second round. My only worry about this weekend is Matt Smith's coming to the team off his injury. Been absolutely exceptional, I think. And then he's out again. And it's how the team as a whole reacts to that.
I think you're likely to see Scott Smith come back in. In fact, you're almost certain to, aren't you? See Scott Smith and Adeko, which has been a very serviceable midfield this season. I know when he first went out and he was injured, we were worried we might miss him. And it's been nice to have him back. But I think part of the beauty of the squad rotation that we've seen, you know, we have seen a lot of it, is that we don't need to worry about him being missing as much as we might have done earlier on in the season. So I think we'll be fine.
I think as well, when Matt Smith's been out, obviously Adeko was our sort of more regular midfielder for so long. And I don't think he was able to play in sort of the role that he thrives in most. And when Matt Smith is in the squad, I think Adeko can play in the role that he is better in. I hope that he carries on that and Scott Smith can come in a bit more of a replacement for Matt Smith just for the game and be more of the player that's trying to make a lot of the forward plays. Adeko just needs to sweep up the ball and get it back to the defence or get it over to Scotty and just let them try and progress us up the field, because that's how it's been working for us. Also, Talo Asgard as well. I would say that when Matt Smith was last out, Asgard wasn't playing as good as he is, and he's getting in the right space. McGuinness is working really hard in front of him. So our whole team is a different dynamic now to what it was when Matt Smith wasn't playing. So I've no major worries going into this one, to be honest.
I'm not saying the major worries, but there are things that play on my mind a little bit. Is the connections. We've got Gary Caldwell, former player, captain, player of the season, manager, Perkins, club legend. He was at Blackpool when he scored. The Earl of Wigan were there when Perkins scored that goal. And Yannick as well. No, for all the abuse he got when he left, you can't blame a bloke for leaving and bettering himself. And he brought us 7 million quid into the club as well. And according to Tom, Yannick still talks fondly about his time with the Latics. So when you've got that sort of connection, it does worry me a bit, because you know former players coming back scoring all the time and what have you. Anyway, Tom went for a 1-1. I suspect he was a little bit diplomatic, because I think he was feeling really confident after what they did to Peterborough. But I had to remind him that, of course, we've beaten Peterborough, and not just once, we've beaten them twice this season. I think we're in line to get another double here. I'm going to go for, they don't score many goals, they don't concede many either, but I've just got that feeling that we're going to go and get a couple at weekend, and I'm going to go for a 2-0 Latics win.
Third time this season with a 2-0 against Exeter, that'd be nice. I think our attack, in the last two games, we've had two high-scoring games, and I think we're going to get another one again. I think it's just that having safety within touching distance is spurring us on a little bit, and McGuinness and Asgard in such good form, I think that they're going to help drag us through. But I'm going to go for a 3-1 to Wigan. I'm going to go Asgard to score again. I think he's got it in him, maybe one from long range. And I think Scotty Smith is going to get a goal. He hasn't hit the target all season, but I think he's going to come in and make a big case for replacing Matt Smith. And then Stephen Humphries, I think he was brilliant in his last cameo. He looks like he's got his confidence back. So yeah, I think Humphries is going to get the final one.
I think what, like you say, Charlie, being in touching distance of safety, near enough, I think that's what counts. I'll take a 1-0 off somebody's backside, but and I know people listen, I'll challenge them to get somewhere close to the 7 that Orich put past them. I'll go, I'll not be so bold, I'll go with 5-0 Latics. But like I say, more realistically, 1-0 off somebody's backside will do just nicely. Thank you very much.
5-0 for playing a team a point behind us and a place behind us in the league. I think it's very...
They're not
very,
a point behind fun. Us. They're 9 points behind us. And we've done them twice, so they know coming into the game they've not got what it takes to beat the Latics.
Paul, I don't like this brazen stuff.
Surprised how powerful that psychology is.
I can't believe I've just said not so bold and 5-0 victory in the same sentence. That's outrageous.
Paul, you must be going with Tom's word clinicality. A team with clinicality about it to win 5-0. What a word that is, clinicality.
Oh, outstanding clinicality if we put 5 past them there.
Some busy podcasts coming up in the next few weeks. Looking at the fixtures ahead, seem to be playing every other day after this week. There's going to be a lot to talk about. We'll be back on Sunday with all the reaction to Saturday's visit of Exeter, and we'll see how much clinicality there was. We'll be looking forward to a visit to Oxford. That was a scene of some clinicality about 5 years ago when we put 8 past them. So until Sunday, up the 6 and come on.
Up the 6. Bring your abacus, Paul, for the next podcast.